Morning. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I am joined with my special guest, Miriam Sauls. Good morning, Miriam.
Well, good morning, Christy.
Thank you for joining us today. You've got an exciting event that is happening in Abingdon, the Feast of Your Life. Talk to us about what this program is going to offer.
Okay, and thanks for this opportunity. This is a workshop day. It's a long day, and it's a really fun day. And what we do, my co-teacher, Vanessa Furlix, and I, we teach memoir writing and artwork around the writing based on food memories. And this is something we developed probably 15 years ago. We started thinking about our own childhoods and how food was such a central part. We were both from North Carolina. Our families had gardens. It was the original garden-to-table kind of eating, and it was a happy place to be around our family tables. And we just thought that there was a richness there people could revisit with memories and write about it and then make drawings or collages about it. And so we developed a course, and over the years, food has become, you know, it's exploded in terms of being in the media all the time. So I think we were almost ahead of our time, and it has turned out to have been a really good idea.
Miriam, you had mentioned that you were from North Carolina. You've had your articles and essays published locally, the state level, national magazines, and you work as a producer and documentary filmmaker. And here you focus on food, which is a passion of mine, and I think most of us probably are passionate about food. It goes throughout all generations and really becomes a part of our society. So as you've been teaching this course, what are some of the responses that your students and participants have shared with you through this experience?
Well, that has been fascinating to us because, as I said, both of us grew up around happy tables and food was such a joyous thing in our lives. And so we were really surprised within minutes of starting the prompts for people to start responding to food in their lives, that there was a lot more diversity than we realized. And that ranged from people who didn't have the same nurturing experience around food than we did, as we did. And so, of course, plenty of people did as well. There were beautiful things written about relationships with grandmothers and with the land and, you know, a lot of the things we might have predicted. But then there were those people who, for instance, had very fraught relationships with food and family. And some of that had to do with, we had a student who immediately started writing about the fact that she was allergic to milk. But that was before anyone even understood lactose intolerance. And she was forced to drink her milk. And it made her relationship with her mother a fraught relationship. It was fascinating that these things we hadn't even considered became such rich explorations for our students. And so that fascinated us, and it also verified that we were onto something as far as how what food can stir up in people and that they revisit and actually understand in a different way then.
Miriam, what were some of your earliest food memories?
Well, at our table, lots of fresh food, as I said, and it was a playful place to be. You know, our parents were very happy if we enjoyed our food, and so it was something that they cherished. That my father's greatest compliment was that was a good knife and fork girl or boy, meaning they, you know, found pleasure in eating. And then, of course, I find out from other friends or students that their mothers thought they were chubby and tried to restrict their food. And it wasn't a happy place. So I realized the happiness at my table and our family enjoyed each other was was really a gift, and it wasn't one to be taken for granted.
Miriam, when you're teaching these classes, these workshops, do you find that there's a certain type of student, a certain age of student, or do you have students that are older and younger?
We have had a broad range, and that's made it interesting because we have taught this course in Switzerland a few times because my co-teacher actually lives in Switzerland, even though she's from Raleigh, North Carolina. So her background is, you know, Southern food. But what we have found is, especially in Switzerland, we had older women. It has mostly been women, so the diversity is in age and not gender. But some of these older women actually grew up in post-World War II Europe where there wasn't enough food. And so some of their food memories had to do with, you know, the poverty of their situation. And so, of course, that stirs up very different memories. And then some of our young students, of course, have grown up in an age where body image and body shaming was much more prevalent than a generation ago. And so they might write about feeling like they should restrict or even, you know, some may have been anorexic. I mean, there's a very broad range that's generational that we found.
Miriam, I'm thinking towards the future, and I would say probably the majority of our listeners, I know we have younger listeners as well, but a lot of us would probably agree with at least a couple times a week we sat down with our family and had a family dinner, or you had Sunday dinner at your grandparents' house, something like that. But I'm wondering this new generation that we have where we're very busy. Students are playing travel ball games. We're always on the run. Most days of the week, you're eating some sort of pickup food or fast food. How that's really going to change the relationship that they have with food when they look back on those early informative years?
Well, I think you're definitely onto something asking that question. And it's been interesting for us because, as I said, we started developing this 15 years ago. And did lots and lots of research and finding the resources we needed. We wanted to have examples of really good writing about food and is sort of culturally what's going on. And because we've tried to keep up over the years, just what's happened in those 15 years, which is, you know, smartphones have come along. Of course, fast food has been around. That's nothing new. But like you say, people are on the go more. And so, yes, there are many different ways to look at it. And, I mean, I raised two kids, and we did our share of drive-through eating, but we did try to balance some of that. Now parents are trying to balance the fact that around the dinner table, everybody might be on a smartphone. And so we gather not only writing resources but visual resources as well. And the things that have come about are photos of families all on their smartphones and not even having the dinner table relationship that made us want to develop this course. And so many trends, also food delivery, food customization of what does your body need, what kind of diet should you be on. It's just exploded with different ways of looking at food. So, yes, we're confronted with so many changes that does provide more richness to write about, but it also means our resource list has changed dramatically in 15 years.
Miriam, we need to take a quick commercial break, but I'd like for you to talk okay. to us a little bit more about the Feast of Your Life, what people can experience if they decide to attend that, and all the wonderful things that you're going to be incorporating.
Of course.
We'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Welcome back. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday mornings, WFHG 92.9. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend. We're back with my special guest, Miriam Sauls. She is with the Feast of Your Life that's going to be offered on October 24th at the Southwest Virginia Cultural Center and Marketplace. Thanks for staying with us, Miriam.
Sure.
Okay, talk to us about the event. I heard that you're going to have a chef there, Charles Parker. He's one of our friends for Super Talk Saturday morning. He's been here several times and is extremely talented. What can people expect if they decide to attend this event?
Well, I will talk about the course, but of course, food is a central part of it, food itself. And so we're very delighted that Charles will be working with us. And I haven't met him in person yet, but from his writing and resume, he's perfect for this because he takes food seriously. And so we're delighted to partner with him and with the Southwest Center. So what students could expect is, first of all, that any level of experience is welcome, because we don't expect any level of expertise, or if someone actually is pretty advanced in writing or art, that's great too. So there's something for everyone. And the other thing we do want people to understand is that it's a fun and creative day, and it's not intimidating in any way, because we work hard to take any intimidation out of it. If somebody's more used to writing but not so much with visual arts, which is my case, and so I relate to someone who might think, oh, I can write, but I don't know how to hold a pencil or come up with visual ideas, we make it easy to play and be expressive without feeling like there's a certain product that's expected. So Vanessa, my co-teacher, and I take turns. So we'll start with some writing, some prompts that just make people explore their memory. And then she will do a writing exercise that's sort of a beginning one too. And then we just build on that all day while taking breaks for really good snacks and a really divine lunch. But we do try to build on it, so by the end of the day, you have a good story that you've developed over the day, and we provide books and supplies. And so you'll have, at the end of the day, some work already completed, but then we hope people will take their supplies home and continue this exploration of food and memory and illustration. So it's a busy day, but we do take breaks and we do have fun, and then people bond with each other. So that makes it fun. People leave with new friends, because we think that's how you make friends, is around the table.
When you think about offering this here in Southwest Virginia, and I had mentioned you're joining us by phone today, before I was talking about this week, I was having a discussion with one of my friends who grew up in Northeast Tennessee, and whatever the discussion that we were having at the time, whatever the topic was, it immediately took me back to being at my grandmother's house. And all of a sudden I blurted out, I would love to have some beans and cornbread. And so I think it's fascinating, because that's one of the things that I enjoyed that she made, how food can resurface in different ways throughout our life. And I think this is just a fascinating, wonderful idea to be able to pass those memories down to generations to come.
Absolutely. And I think we don't realize sometimes how connected it is, how central it is in our lives. And one of our favorite quotes is, food to a large extent is what holds a society together, and eating is closely linked to deep spiritual experiences. And I think that's what we found, is that our students in these workshops before have gotten to a spiritual level really fast. And if a relationship with your grandmother and your favorite foods isn't spiritual, I don't know what is. I mean, it embodies so much more than that food and that relationship. It's a whole world of a relationship. And just think how much fun that would be to explore in an essay.
I love writing, and one of the things, it was actually my other grandmother. That's pretty much how I learned to cook, my mother's mother. And I was sharing with somebody the other day, I couldn't even reach the countertop and she would get me up on a stool. And so that was some of the first experiences that I had. And when she passed away, one of the things that I really enjoyed going through were her handwritten note card recipes.
Well, and that's the language of love. I mean, everything you've just expressed, from the very strong visual of a little girl, you know, reaching to be able to participate in this ritual, to things from her heart and her hand when she wrote those notes, it's just so rich, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would. And I think about now when I find a recipe or an inspiration online, it's already typed up. I'll print it and then I'll stick it with my other recipe books and things like that, or I'll hand, you know, jot down a few little notes. But that connectedness is not there in a way that I think it was with earlier generations, with having that manuscript, having their handwriting. It just imparts a whole different energy and connectedness to it.
Well, it is, but I think what we have to realize is that we can do it our own way. And yes, things have changed, but someday when someone goes through your recipes, it will have been printed off on a printer, but it'll have olive oil stains on it from being next to your stove when you started the stir fry or whatever it is. I mean, there's still ways we can communicate this. And that I think, because of the richness of the past, we'll continue to communicate, at least I hope. I mean, I hope my children, I mean, they'll call me for a recipe every now and then. Of course, nothing makes me happier. But I do think there are ways to carry it on. And a course like this reconnects us with the fact that it's worth carrying on, that it meant more to us maybe than we realized before we started sort of sifting through these memories. So we hope it inspires people to be more interactive with family and friends and to realize the stories inside of them that are there just waiting to be expressed.
Well, thank you so much for offering this workshop and allowing us to think a little bit more about something that is such a vital part of our everyday lives. If people would like more information on the Feast of Your Life, where can they go to find that?
Well, they can go to the Southwest Center website, swvaculturalcenter.com, or we have a feastofyourlife.com website, and that will direct people how to register, which is at the Southwest Virginia Center. So, and we have four really nice sponsors who have made us help keep the cost down, and that's Peyton Boyd, A Likely Yarn, Park Center Guest House, and Catbird's Wine and Gourmet. And we're very thankful they're pitching in to help make this affordable, because you get a lot for the day, including a wonderful lunch. So we hope people will come and explore with us.
Well, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Well, thanks. Maybe you'll come with us that day.
It sounds like so much fun. I can't wait.
Thank you so much, Christy, for the opportunity to talk about it. It's fun to think about.
You're welcome. Thank you. We need to take a quick we need to take a quick commercial break here in just a couple minutes. A lot of us eat in front of the TV, and even though we have a dining room table, so I think there's a lot of memories just based on what works for you and works for your family. What would have been, what year the TV dinners? 50s?
When they came out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about right. When they started with those, that idea, that concept of being able to have easily prepared frozen meals in your kitchen.
I don't do that very frequently. Sometimes I'll get frozen meals when I'm in a pinch or I'm working late or tired or something like that. I do prepare a lot of food, but I will confess I'm one that sits in front of the TV and watches TV and eats.
I'll confess that I am a TV dinner connoisseur. I don't always eat them, but I always have them as a backup in case I don't feel like making something. And a lot of the times...
That's frequently?
Yeah, a lot of times I tend to not feel like making anything.
It would be interesting to do this creative writing process with kids too, just to see kind of their perspective and what they think about food and their relationship with food. I don't know. Maybe as mothers, we don't want to know that.
I think it'd be beneficial for kids regardless. Yeah. I mean, pull them away from that iPad or whatever they've been playing with, video games, pull them away from that for just a few minutes. give them something to give them some homework from mom and dad.
If this has inspired you to possibly sit down more with your family and enjoy a meal and sit at the table, I would go to West State Furniture because they have my favorite furniture line, Magnuson, and they have beautiful dining room tables. They also have high top tables, bar stools, and you can develop your own memories. One of the things that I love about West State Furniture is they offer all sorts of different things, solid name brand furniture at wholesale prices and below each and every day. They are locally owned and operated, and people come from all over to purchase their furniture from West State Furniture because in today's economy, every dollar counts. Of course, if you're looking for a sofa, they have Hughes Serta. They have one of my favorite lines, Carolina Classic Furniture with the Made in the USA label, offering custom furniture without the big price tag. They have a wide array of styles and fabric choices. I am sure that you will find your perfect piece of furniture for your home or office. If you're looking for leather, look at the Leather Italia series. Beautiful all-leather sofas, love seats, and ottomans and chairs. West State Furniture is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 5:30, and Saturdays, 9:30 to 3, and by appointments. You can give them a call for more information at 276-591-4155. They do special orders, so if there's something that you're looking for and you don't see it there in their beautiful showroom, they can order those for you. They have new shipments arriving weekly. West State Furniture, it's located in the old Pete Moore building at 1615 West State Street in Bristol, Virginia. West State Furniture offering 1 year same as cash. We've got a lot of great things that are happening here in the Tri-Cities. We've got some specials that are going on that I want to share with you folks. We appreciate you tuning in. We need to take a quick news break, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes. This is your host, Christy Slaughter, on Super Talk Saturday Mornings, WFHG 92.9.